How carefully do you pay attention to signs? Anybody here ever roared right through a stop sign? What signs really attract your attention? School zone?
Food.
Now you're talking. We don't miss those signs, do we? No. Dead end? Road closed? How many of you have done like I have? You see a road closed and I think, oh, you know, there are people up there. I bet there's a way for me to scoot through. So I get all the way up there and they say, lady, turn around. Didn't you see the sign? Ladies' room or men's room? Whoops, get it right. You go to the eye doctor. Your eye doctor says, okay, what's the top line you can read? How many of you consider yourselves halfway intelligent people? And who here has pulled hard at a door that clearly says, push? How much attention do we pay to signs? Well, not always that much attention because they might require us to change. And as our new bishop said to us last week, the only one who really wants changed is a baby with a bad diaper. The rest of us just want to keep going. How about reading signs in another language? Can you read them in Spanish? French? Yeah. Can you make out kilometers and make them apply to how many miles an hour you're going? How about nonverbal signs? Can you tell when somebody you're with is really sad or is tickled to death and is trying not to laugh right out loud? Do you read nonverbal signs in a dog when you come up to greet it? How did you read the signs for our presidential election? There were all kinds of predictions that were all wrong, right? And whether you're red or blue or purple, or like me at the end of the election, I felt kind of black and blue. I felt kind of pummeled to death. There are signs all around us. Jesus said, notice the signs of your times. And people were continually pestering Jesus for signs. Give us a sign, Jesus, that our generation is going to be okay. Give us a sign, Jesus, that you're going to take the Romans in hand. Give us a sign, Lord, that you're the one we've been waiting for. Jesus says, why is it that you can read the signs in the heavens, in the skies, but you cannot read the signs as I, Jesus, stand right before you? Now, how many of you can read the skies? If we're fixing to have a really good thunderstorm in humid July, how many of you can pretty much tell it's coming?
Yeah, you know, it's usually not rocket science, right? It's like, oh boy, it's hot, it's humid, I'm getting a headache, I bet we're going to have a storm. And if you think we're good, you should live out in the Great Plains like Kansas. Those folks are so tuned into tornadoes, they can tell when there's one a state or two away, and they start to get ready. Jesus says, why is it that you don't have a grasp of the obvious sign when I am with you? Now, in today's gospel, the disciples were sitting with Jesus around the temple complex. It was a huge thing. It was like being at the Mall of America. It was like being at a mega church. It was gigantic. The stones that Jesus was talking about that he said would be reduced to rubble were 8 feet by 8 feet by 8 feet. They were huge. He said they will all be reduced to rubble. Why do you not get the signs of the times? Well, you may not realize that the Gospel of Luke was written in about 85 A.D., The temple was destroyed in 70 AD, 15 years before, by the Roman army, who was sick to death of the Jews rebelling and thought they would come in and teach them a lesson. So by the time Luke is writing this text, everybody knows that the temple has been destroyed. You could not miss that the temple was destroyed. Rome came in, legions of war horses and soldiers, and leveled that great temple that Herod had built. It was gone. Jesus is saying in this text, It's going to be obvious when God's judgment is at work. It's going to be obvious when the reign of God is breaking in place. You don't need to stare at the sky. You don't need to waste time trying to figure out what's going on. It's going to be obvious. The signs of Jesus' presence are always available when his Holy Spirit is moving. How many of you look for the first red leaf of autumn? I love to do that. When you find that first red leaf, you don't have to contact a meteorologist. You know that what's happening. Autumn is beginning. When we have a heavy freeze, we know that what's going to begin pretty soon. Winter. God's future has entered our present, like the song, soon and very soon. And the signs of Jesus breaking in are trustworthy. Now, friends, I think believers have probably wasted a lot of time and energy looking for obscure signs. I had an algebra teacher in high school, Mr. Sanford, who was a wonderful man. Why he didn't shoot us all, I can't imagine, but he was patient and kind and forgiving as he taught algebra 2 to a bunch of boneheaded kids. Every once in a while, he was a Christian, perhaps an apocalyptic Christian looking to the end. Every once in a while, he would say, "Now I'm going to risk my job because there's something you need to get that's even more important than algebra." Well, that was breathtaking in itself, coming from Mr. Sanford, that something could be better than algebra. But we learned that what he was going to do, he was going to talk about the end times. And he would put all kinds of signs up on the blackboard. He was a mathematician. And then he'd total them up, and it would come out to 1980 or something. And it was close enough to be a little bit scary. I mean, we'd straighten up and be pretty good for a day or two before we'd go back to normal and he'd have to do it again. He was the best soul in the world. But I don't think that's what Jesus intended. There was a wonderful German theologian named Karl Barth, B-A-R-T-H. Anybody ever read Karl Barth? Great stuff. Great Lutheran. Karl Barth is said to have had in his office a famous painting by Matthias Grunewald of the crucifixion of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever seen it in print. It's a traditional crucifixion scene, but what's unusual is in the corner is John the Baptist, who of course was dead by the time of the crucifixion, but in the picture there's John the Baptist and he's pointing toward Jesus. Karl Barth was famous for saying, "I want to be like that finger. I want to be the one who points to Jesus." Brothers and sisters, I believe that what God is saying to us is that in this world, as resurrection people, we are the signs of God's newness in the world. We are the sign that God's new beginning is here. We are the ones who are the warm-up before the full concert. We believers are the trailer before the movie. We are the beachhead of the kingdom of God. Because through us, prayers are lifted incessantly. The hungry are fed. The gospel is preached. Forgiveness and reconciliation are offered. We are changed people, and it's our job to point to the Lord and who is coming. We are the first red leaves of God's autumn, and we are to be the sign that Jesus can be trusted. So I offer to you on this Thanksgiving, well, not quite, pre-Thanksgiving Sunday, when we as people have so much for which to be grateful in the country in which we live, that we take on ourselves the being of the sign of the newness of God through our willingness to love, through our willingness to reconcile, through the integrity of our lives that points to our Lord Jesus, who can be ultimately trusted as he works to make all things new. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.